Virginia 23255. Get a copy of the Israel calendar. We have 13 of them left. Don't delay. Do it today. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org, and tell your friends, Romans and countrymen, about the program.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IR and its advertisers or affiliates.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for this next hour, the views of our special guest, Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. And Bob has a fascinating history. He's worked for military intelligence, but for many years had his own firm on the stock exchange, and certainly, he now writes the International Forecaster, which comes out twice a week, about 30 pages. I look forward to getting it every week. Of course, there's not going to be one coming up until, I guess, next, till after the first of next year, is there, Bob?
That's just right. I think it's on the second.
All right, fine. Well, we'll have something to look forward to.
Well, there's plenty of pages already being made, that's for sure.
Well, you know, I think that really, if you look and see what's going on financially in the world, most people, you know, it doesn't affect them too much. You know, we know there's a problem there. We hear about all these CDOs and ABSs and structured investment vehicles. That's what they call an SIV. And we know that a lot of people are losing their homes across America. But really, of course, one of the things that is most amazing is Merrill Lynch, which is one of the four or five biggest financial houses in the United States, first of all, ended up selling a significant part of its stock to somebody in Abu Dhabi. And then, of course, assumed that everything was going to be fine. And then, just this last week, why, Merrill Lynch again has sold another 10% of its stock to the government in Singapore, their structured, sovereign growth fund, or whatever they call it. But Merrill Lynch certainly has had these CDOs, these collateralized debt obligations. But did they write a lot of debentures? Is that why they're having problems? And why UBS and some of the other big banks are having problems? Is they've written these debentures and they don't have the money to pay off their obligations?
Well, that's true. What they did was they packaged loans that they bought from mortgage brokers. And then what they did is they leveraged them. And then they attempted to sell them off to other professionals throughout the world by using fraud. And that was, they and the rating agencies misrepresented the quality of the bonds that they were selling. They said they were AAA when in fact they were BBB. And so from a scale of 10 being AAA, fours or threes are BBB. And so there's about $2 trillion worth of bad debts out there, or bad securities, if you may, that are probably worth 25 or 30 cents on the dollar. And those houses you spoke of, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, Merrill Lynch, Citigroup, and many others, are sitting with hundreds of billions of dollars in these bonds that they couldn't sell. They just didn't get rid of them fast enough. And so the consequence is write-offs of somewhere between, I'd say, $150 and $300 billion. Nobody knows for sure yet because of two factors. All the banking houses are lying about it, and but they have what their exposure is. And a lot of these bonds they pushed into hedge funds that they created in order to take them off their books so that their capital ratio wouldn't be lowered by having them on there, and so they could continue to make enormous amounts of loans rather than a lesser amount.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Bob, go right ahead. You were just saying that they've done that, but certainly, what about the derivatives? Is this one reason why they're in so much trouble? Or is it simply that they're holding all these CDOs and they can't unload them?
Well, the final part of what I was just talking about is that the final price of this toxic garbage, as it's called, nobody knows what the final value will be when they are liquidated because they have never been marked to market. And they're going to have to do that under FSIB rules. And that's coming during January, February, and March. So the banking system is teetering on the edge of disaster. And there's no other newsletter writer except for a handful that will tell you that. And certainly not the general media, and certainly not corporate America, Wall Street, and our government. And that's how close we are. It's a very serious situation, and how it's being covered is the sovereign investments of money going into these firms. And also, the Federal Reserve has not only opened up the discount window to banks, but also they're having auctions for banks where they don't tell anybody who the bidders are at about $20 billion a week, which is unheard of. And so what's happening here, money is flooding to the rescue. The problem is that the problem is so big that I don't know whether they can cover it. And the collateralization that the Fed is receiving for getting these loans, which they're rolling over already, in other words, they're just keeping the loans going in perpetuity, the collateral that's being given in some cases is good, but more often than not, it's these CDOs which are being taken at a face value when in fact they're worth 25 or 30 cents in the dollar. So it essentially ends up that the Fed is monetizing the money that they're lending, and when you do that, it's immediately inflationary. And that is going to cause a lot of problems in America because inflation is not 4.25%. It's not a core of 2.5%. It's 11.6%. And I expect this coming year it'll go up to 15-20%. And the estimated M3 that we put together is showing money and credit creation by the Fed at 17.5%. When anything between 3.5% and 6.5% is normal. And so...
Hold that thought for just a moment.
We have a blunderbuss here.
Hold that for just a moment.
Which is going to cause massive inflation.
All right, fine. Of course, what Bob is pointing out is that everything that the Federal Reserve System is doing to try to keep the banking system from collapsing is inflationary. The problem is not a matter of liquidity, in other words, not enough money out there. The matter is a matter of solvency. These banks are insolvent because, of course, they have a lot of securities that really aren't worth much of anything on their books, and so these banks are insolvent. And so what's the Federal Reserve doing? It's flooding money, liquidity into the markets, and this is highly inflationary. And as Bob is saying, you know, we may very well be seeing 15-20% inflation. Do you think it could be as soon as next year, Bob?
Yes, 15%. I'll tell you how I know that. The Federal Reserve has been increasing money and credit for the last 4 years by an average so far of about 10%. And it takes about a year to a year and a half for that money and credit to feed into the system and make an impact. And so because the Fed is continuing to create large amounts of money and credit, we know that the inflation is going to last at least another year to year and a half. And the hook here is that for the last 3.5 years, 18 of 20 major central banks have been doing the same thing. Not as much. We'll take the European Central Bank. Their figures for last month were 12.3%. England was 12.5%, down from 13 something. And so, you know, it's coordinated. I mean, all these central banks are working together on this thing. And I think the reason that they have done what they've done, that they knew this problem was coming. And they also wanted to keep the stock markets of the world from collapsing. And I don't think there's any way eventually of doing that. But governments are in their markets, particularly the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government under the aegis of the Working Group and Financial Markets. And they're in the markets 24-7 manipulating them. And so we have all of these things going on at the same time. And the only real answer to all of this, the solution, is to purge the system. And the Illuminists don't want to purge the system, because if they do that, they'll have deflation, and they know they can't control it. So they're going to continue to inflate until the whole system collapses.
And, of course, it's easier to inflate than to do what you should do, and that would be to limit the availability of credit, to raise the interest rates up to 20-25%, and just stop the inflation. They have two choices. They can do what's right, or they can do what's wrong. They're doing what's wrong. And, of course, but you start getting an inflationary rate of 15-20%. It doesn't take very long before you destroy the value of everybody's life savings and pensions and insurance policies and annuities and CDs and treasury bills and all these people who think they're so smart they're going to play the system, I think are going to wake up one day very, very saddened to realize that they've been impoverished. Well, what about derivatives? What part do derivatives play in what's going on today? Do we have any idea? I mean, there must be, certainly, people must have written derivatives on a lot of these CDOs that have been placed out there. Who's wrote the derivatives and what's happening to them?
Well, first of all of, there's two ways of insuring bonds. Number one is through a bond insurance company. And there's about 10 of them, big ones. And there's probably 4 or 5 real big ones. And they're all on the edge of disaster as well, because they never anticipated these kind of losses. In fact, ACA is one of them. It just went into voluntary bankruptcy to see if they could work things out and raise capital. What does that mean? It means if they do that, that the bonds that were being insured aren't insured. And so there's no way to collect, and you got to take your own losses because the insurance isn't there for you. The second way that they insured was to buy derivatives, a form of insurance. And that derivative was supposed to protect the bond as well. And who wrote them? I don't know. They're traded in the over-the-counter market. And they're traded by insurance companies, banks, brokerage houses, large corporations, pension funds, and above all, hedge funds. And, you know, we don't know who's going to go under and who's going to pay. I do know that most of the derivatives have been written by 3 major banks, and that is J.P. Morgan, Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, followed by Lehman Brothers and Goldman Sachs. And so they're the major writers. They make up about 80 or 85% of the derivatives out there, which are now, what is it, $500 trillion or some insane figure. And they're running naked because they don't have that money. There's no way they can cover it. There's no collateral. It's a big gambling palace. And if they can't pay off, the whole system's going to come down. And it is eventually. What's eventually? Max 2 to 3 years, maybe this coming year.
Well, of course,
and it's going to be nasty.
I see where the our Federal Reserve System lent $20 billion to Credit Suisse. Now, that's one of the two largest banks in Switzerland. Why would the Federal Reserve, our Federal Reserve, be lending money to one of a major Swiss bank? Unless maybe they were into this derivative market as well.
Well, I don't. The Swiss National Bank wasn't itself, but I think what they did, they said, look, we'll participate in trying to save the system, but we're not going to use our own money to do it. And the European Central Bank said that to an extent, and the Bank of England said it to an extent, and the Bank of Canada as well. And so they said, well, look, if we put up $10 billion, you guys got to give us another $10 billion. Everybody's printing paper is what they're doing. The whole thing is a bloody circus. It's crazy. And the public doesn't understand it. Most of the people on Wall Street don't understand it. The government sure doesn't understand anything except graft and corruption. And so there's a few souls like me out there, there's probably 25 of us in the world, who talk to people and tell them what's really going on and how it works and what the dangers are and what the solutions are. And we are very, very unpopular with the United States government, because the government does not want people to know how they're stealing from them and what a bunch of corrupt frauds that they are. And so when we expose that, we get on one of their lists. And if you push them far enough, we suicide. And that's the kind of thing that people like I face out there.
Well, we certainly noticed that Alan Greenspan is beginning to talk about a very real possibility of a recession, almost a 50-50 chance of recession. Now, a recession would have a disastrous impact on our, certainly on our society. We find out that certainly consumer buying over this Christmas holiday wasn't as good as that hoped for. And, of course, we find more and more people are losing their homes, and more and more people are losing their jobs. It certainly looks to me like we're on the edge of a recession. How do you feel about that, Bob?
Well, I agree, and there's a lot of things they haven't told anybody yet that we report on. You see them in the report because you read it each week, and are the two issues by email that we send out each week. And it's just that nobody knows what's going on. They just don't understand. It's like a solution. The only solution in this hyperinflationary environment is the purchase of gold and silver-related assets. Now, people say to me, well, gee, if that's the case, why aren't they selling for more? Because if you take official inflation since 1980, when the last high was hitting gold at 850, and we're very close to that right now again, why isn't gold $2,665 an ounce, which would reflect official inflation? And the reason, very simply, is that if you were 25 years old in 1980, the chances are remote that you would have known anything about the gold and silver rallies that took place in the years between 1978 and 1982. And so we have a populace of people who are under some 52, 55 years old, who know absolutely nothing about gold and silver and their roles as money in history. All they know is that they make jewelry out of them. And so that's why we don't have tremendous buying, but there will be when everybody else's other assets start to decline, like housing is.
Well, certainly we see the price of oil, you know, $95, $95.50 a barrel now. And, of course, it wouldn't take very much to push it well over $100 a bushel. We find the price of wheat going up, the price of corn going up, the price of bread going up, the price of cattle meat is going up because, of course, the grain that they feed the cattle is going up. And the same thing with chickens and eggs. They eat corn, and the price of corn is tripled. And the government keeps telling us, after all, you can trust us. Core inflation is 2.25%, and we think we got up to 3% the other day. Their inflation But they're simply lying to us, aren't they, Bob?
They absolutely are.
All right. Well, our guest is Bob Chapman. If you have a question for Bob, why, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Bob is one of the few people I think who knows a lot more about this than I do. So, you know, if you want to call and ask him a question, why, he's a great source of information. He's been at this game longer than I have, and we're on the edge of what I believe is a financial Armageddon, a financial tsunami, and of course, when the wave passes over, why, the economy will never, never be the same again. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman. And what's your impression? Do you think that the sales were up to expectations over this holiday season or not?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tieri. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
They're keeping them in for 3 years. Why? We'll let them out in 6 months. And why? Because we can't afford to keep them in prisons. We're running out of money for our prisons in California and in certain places throughout the country. Today in the United States, we have, you know, 7 million Americans. That's 7 million Americans in prison, probation, or parole. They don't want the American people to know that. Of course, a lot of them are honest people who've been put in fraudulently by the government, many times by corrupt prosecutors. We have FBI and CIA and DEA agents who tried to tell about the government involvement in the drug smuggling, government corruption. They were put in prison to silence them. There are all sorts of innocent people in prison today because we no longer have an honest judicial system. And now, of course, with all these people in prison, you don't have enough money to actually, to build new prisons. You don't have enough money to keep them in prison. And here in California, they're actually contemplating releasing prisoners. We live in a world gone mad, don't we, Bob?
We certainly have. And, you know, I left California in 1990. And I said that at that time, that what was happening was that California was losing its tax base. And the reason for this, especially Southern California, was the influx of illegal aliens, because none of them pay any taxes, and all they do is live off the system in using social amenities, which aggregate probably $300 or $400 billion a year that it's costing that state. And so I knew that they would be in serious trouble, and I was going to stay around and wait for it. And yes, real estate went up, but it's just going to come right back down again. And yes, people made money, but other people lost lots of money. In fact, some of them lost everything. California, among all the other states, is in more serious trouble than any state. And now that Arizona's passed laws banning employees from hiring illegal aliens, or if they do, they take their business license away from them. Many of these illegals are going to California to compound their problems. I mean, just as a guidepost, for the past 15 years, 74% of the live births in L.A. County have been to illegal aliens. So, you don't have to be a genius to figure out the extrapolation of the usage of the social system and the extent to the difficulty they're going to run into. And they either raise taxes or cut spending. And, of course, the main way to do that in a recession is to cut spending. And when that starts, you can expect crime to catapult.
And, of course, the government doesn't want to cut spending. They want to be able to have all their government employees with their big, fat pensions and all their health care benefits and their higher salaries, far higher than if you were out in the general working in the general community, in the private sector, and they're going to have to start cutting back salaries for the state employees. In fact, they're already talking about, certainly stopping funding for the university system, because, of course, it's so wasteful. These administrators are getting $300,000 or $400,000 a year, and then their housing benefits and redecorating their houses at the expense of the taxpayers. And they're just going to have to cut that loose. And, boy, you can hear them already beginning to moan and groan about, oh, my goodness, we won't have the quality education. Well, what we have is not quality education, but quality indoctrination in our universities. I believe we need an educated cadre. But, of course, look and see the end result of the educational system, where we have young people coming out of our universities dedicated communists and socialists. Something's wrong with their education. They're never allowed to hear what's wrong with Marxist philosophy. They don't, in fact, hear the conservatives at the University of California, where I live, conservative professors up there, Bettina Aptheker and Angela Davis. They've really got some real radicals there, but Angela Davis and Bettina Aptheker, why, they're on the conservative side now. And
well, they've also spawned a whole new group of fascists as well.
Amen to that. And, of course, we're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest is Bob Chapin. And, of course, our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to Bob, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, right here in the mid-coast of California. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapin. We're simply talking about what's happening in the financial markets. And, of course, what is the most incredible story is the whole financial system is beginning to implode. Bob, do you think that maybe this will give us an opportunity to reach people as the whole system begins to implode and people begin losing everything they've spent their lives working for? Do you think at least some of them are going to begin to listen to us now?
I think they're all going to listen. They're going to be forced to. And it's a sad way to have to bring it about. But this is human nature, and this is the way people are in every civilization. And they have to learn the hard way. And most of them have never had a bad day in their entire lives. And now they're entering into a time span of the next 5 to 10 years, which will be an absolute nightmare. They have no idea what went on in America in the 1930s. The poverty was unbelievable. And we're going to see it again. And it's a tragedy, but it could have been avoided, but nobody wanted to listen. And at least the people that you and I are talking to have the opportunity to do the things that they need to do to protect themselves. And that protection has already taken place. Many of these people have made investments in the gold and silver related area, and have made piles of money, and they will continue to do so to offset the losses that they're going to take on their homes and their factories and all of the things that people do, their businesses and their way of life. And so at least they got a chance of coming back strongly. But we're talking about 2% of the population. By the time they join in, we may be talking about 15%. The rest of them just are not going to listen until they don't have anything. And then they're going to say, well, why didn't you tell me? Why wasn't this on CNN? Well, I don't think the wolf is going to tell you about this, because if he does, he'll lose his job. I mean, that's the way it works. I mean, that's why economists are right and analysts are right one-third of the time, because they have to lie, because if they don't, they lose their jobs.
Well, I think we live in really very, very perilous times. You can certainly see what's happening. The foreclosures, home foreclosures are up. Houses, certainly in the area where I live, the prices are not coming down, but of course the houses aren't selling either, and sooner or later, of course, houses will drop. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have somebody calling in. His name is Steve. He's from New York. He has $4,000 to spend on gold coins. Where should he go to buy them? Who can he trust, and what sort of coins should he get? So that's the question coming from Steve from New York.
I think the best thing from Steve to do is to call the 800 number, which I give out, and he'll be put in touch with a coin dealer that I've dealt with for years that I know is honest, and will speak with him about his particular financial situation and stir him in a direction that he should be going. Not many dealers will do that, because all they're interested in doing is selling you coins that can mark up 30 or 40 or 50%.
And I think
the people I send you to wouldn't dare do that.
I think that there are an awful lot of people out there who are going to take advantage of you in the coin market. You just got to be so very, very careful. But, of course, you have to Nobody can guarantee anything, but shop around. I know the number that Bob is talking about, and certainly it's a very, very nice woman who we sometimes, very often will talk to here at Radio Liberty. So, certainly... Sydney, what about, should you be in regular coins or should you be in collector coins?
Well, I think at the beginning, that with a small amount of money like that, I think probably the best way to start off is with bullion coins, and then maybe on the next trip, and that would be gold and silver, on the next trip, then perhaps go into numismatic coins. Or if you like to gamble and take risk, you can go into gold and silver stocks, which we make recommendations for. And they've done quite handsomely as a group, particularly in the last 5 years, of course. And there's different ways to approach it. I give out my email address if you have questions. All you have to do is email. If you want to go to my site, we give you that address.
Why don't you give your address, your site, and your email, and put that information out for our listeners?
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish via email on Wednesdays and Saturdays. It runs around 30 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month as well. And the site address on the internet is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International FORECASTER.com. If you'd like to email, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. That's international_forecaster@yahoo.com, and you can get a free copy off the site of the publication by just applying for it, or you can call 1-800-375-4188, and that's toll free, 800-375-4188. And all your questions will be answered. I mean, we answer right away, and you'd be surprised. We give good advice, and nobody charges you any for anything. The only people who pay anything are people who subscribe to the publication.
And, of course, the publication is fascinating. I look forward with anticipation to getting it twice a week. Well, anyway, Bob, certainly the price of gold was, about $820 today. Certainly silver's up over, I think it was $1,454, was up to $1,460 the other day. When do you anticipate that these things are going to move, or is there any way to know?
Well, there's never any way to know, but after the first of the year, I believe that we'll start moving in gold and silver during January and February. And I think we'll break out over $850. Could go to 1,000. I think it was on that way a month and a half ago when our government interceded in the market, just like they go into the stock market every day and manipulate it. And they admit to it. And they say it's legal. And it is. But that is not what America is all about. That is not about free enterprise. That's about corporatist fascism, where government regulates markets, where government hopes to regulate everything in your life. We had that in the 1930s in Italy and Germany and Japan as well, and it didn't work out very well for those people. And it's not going to work out very well for us either.
All right, certainly gold and silver has done very, very well, and I think that probably it will continue to do very, very well. And the stock market is totally manipulated, and of course, so are so many of the commodity prices, and it is because we do have a fascist government. We have people who realize, of course, you control people's outlook by controlling the stock market. When the stock market is up, people feel good. When the stock market is down, people feel terrible. And so, you know, then you certainly want to keep it up there. I think it was allowed to go where it would on its own, why certainly the stock market would dropping, drop dramatically as it has in other countries. But as long as they have the ability to manipulate the market, as long as the Working Group on Financial Matters, that's the Working Group on Financial Matters, is allowed to manipulate the Dow Jones and the other stocks, why, they will continue to do that because they're playing games with our minds. Well, what about certainly the fact that, Bob, that foreign governments are coming in with their sovereign wealth funds and buying up large numbers of our factories and buying up large amounts of our infrastructure. And now, of course, we see the countries coming in, Singapore, certainly the Arab countries coming in and buying up our largest financial institutions. In fact, I mean, they're going to end up with 20 or 30 or 40% or more of our major financial institutions. People don't understand the terrible straits that Merrill Lynch is in. I mean, this is the second time they've sold, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10% of their stocks just this last week. Again, I mean, it didn't happen just once, but for a second time, and I suspect Merrill Lynch will be selling even more of their stock in the near future. What do you think?
Well, I think they're on the hook for about $26 billion. I have new figures coming out next week that I've already written. And, in fact, size is going to be a real problem in the next issue next week because I'll probably have 60 or 70 pages. And because, you know, the world doesn't stop just because we have holidays. And I expect that the numbers are going to be far higher than anticipated because they keep on getting data in every day that just looks dreadful. And it's not going to change. It's not going to go away. It's going to get worse. And this is only the beginning. I mean, you're just seeing the tip of things here. Even if they're able to, for the time being, save the system, that doesn't mean that they've solved the problem. And it's going to go on for years.
And already this whole system is purged, and of course you get back to a sound banking system instead of this artificial banking system where, of course, the Fed can just keep printing all the money it wants to. When your fiat money system always collapsed, I mean, they collapsed in ancient Florence, they collapsed in ancient Venice, in ancient Greece, in ancient Rome. Why should we think that it would work today, even when we have so people who are so smart and who think they're so smart, and yet, if they were so smart, how did we get into the mess we are today?
They are smart. Their problem is they're greedy. And their power knows no bounds. And their quest for wealth knows no bounds as well. And that's what trips them up. And communications being what it is today, it's just phenomenal. And when this all comes down, people are going to say, who did this to us? And that will be a moment that we will relish because we can expose the corrupt and criminal behavior of a good part of corporate America, and particularly Wall Street and the banking industry and our government. And I would think that there would be trials, and I think that people would be put in jail for the things that they've done. If that doesn't happen, then if we do have a depression, which is terrible, which I anticipate, and that law does not work, it doesn't put these people where they belong, the public will take care of it. We could have chaos. We just don't know which turn of events is going to turn what way. It's beyond our knowledge. We can't see into the future, although we do know what has happened in the past. And sometimes there's been quiet evolutions and revolutions within finance and economics, and sometimes they've been violent and they've lasted for years. And so we just don't know. And so the chances are that there will be trouble, and you've got to prepare for it.
Well, I certainly agree with you there, and this is why we do what we do, trying to warn people. Make your preparations now. And Sydney, one of the things is if you only have a little money, you lay in a supply of food and water and water filters. And so that you can manage. And then after you've got the various essentials that you're going to need to be able to protect yourself, you know, in your home, and make sure you have enough money to be able to make your payments on your home and get it paid off, and then start investing in the things that Bob talks about. Our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to Bob, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And of course, what we're seeing is many of our major financial institutions, and Merrill Lynch, and certainly Morgan Chase, and Morgan Stanley, and Bear Stearns, and certainly the other names we associate with great wealth, like Goldman Sachs. I mean, all of these banks are having problems. Goldman Sachs doesn't seem to be having as many problems as many as the others, but I suspect they are all into derivatives. They've written these contracts guaranteeing bonds, and there's not enough money in the world to pay it off. We're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 to $500 trillion in derivatives that are out there. And of course, as Warren Buffett has said, derivatives are financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent but potentially lethal. And that, of course, I think is the thing that people have to understand, is this whole thing can come crashing down. And when it does, of course, it will destroy the entire financial system, and the people who have their money in the bank will never get it out. Well, let's go to Charles, who's calling from Harlem. Hi, Charles. How are you doing?
How are you, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing just fine. It's good to have you with us. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, yes. I know him as Uncle Bob because I'm a subscriber to his international forecaster, and it's brought me up to speed by at least a whole millennium, things I didn't know. But I wanted to ask a question about who stands to gain, and this is a little off the beaten path, who stands to gain from the assassination of the Pakistani Prime Minister?
Mrs. Bhutto. Yes, go ahead, Bob. Right. Who do you think
stands to gain? Well, it's a very, very good question, and it's obviously very timely. About 20 years ago, through my contacts worldwide in counterintelligence, I encountered Ms. Bhutto, and she has been for many years an asset of MI6 and the Central Intelligence Agency.
But Bob, didn't you also say that Pervez Musharraf also was as well?
Who?
The current president, Musharraf.
Current president also, isn't he also?
Yes. And I don't know who assassinated her. Al-Qaeda as such doesn't exist.
Right.
And Karzai could well have been the one who did that, but she was an asset of the British and the American governments. And I am absolutely, totally sure of that. And very few people know that unless they're in the intelligence community. And she was sent back in to take over the government because they wanted to phase Karzai out, and I don't think he liked that very much. And so it ended up that she was assassinated. And I know that we are sending more and more special military people into Pakistan. I know that also that, yes, they do have nuclear weapons, and they're guarded by U.S. and British personnel, and so that they're not readily available to the Pakistani public or anybody else. And we have been infiltrating groups into Pakistan for some time, we and the British, and now they're going to step it up. I don't think it's a good idea. They made a disaster out of the entire region in the Middle East, and now they're going to do this. They have a number of tribes in Pakistan, and along the Afghan-Pakistani border, this is another unnatural border created by the British to cause war and demand. like the Balkans. And the people who are involved in the Taliban, who exist, as opposed to Al-Qaeda, which doesn't exist, these tribes along the border on both sides are in the same tribe as the Taliban people. And so that's why they've been able to find sanctuary. And I don't think that U.S. forces want to take on a half a million very heavily armed Afghans and Pakistanis along with the Taliban at the same time. And these guys are ferocious fighters and have been for centuries. And I believe they're making another terrible mistake. What they're trying to do is change the leadership in Pakistan so that they can outflank Iran.
And I think Musharraf, it was to his advantage to get rid of Mrs. Bhutto. He did not want her there, running against him for the presidency. And now, of course, that she's gone, there's only one other candidate, and Musharraf wants to stay on as the leader there. He realizes that he wouldn't be around very long. If he lost that position, he'd probably be assassinated. He needs the force of the government to keep himself alive, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if he knows a lot more about the assassination than he's letting on. Charles, thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
God bless, and thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Bob, you don't remember when your next time you're on. I think you're on Thursday, but is it next Thursday or 2 weeks from Thursday?
Well, I'll have to look at that special Dr. Stan program here. I did email you back today.
Okay, fine. I'll wait till the email arrives. And
well, it should be there, and but I can tell you it is on the 8 p.m.
Right.
On Monday, the 10th.
Monday the 10th.
Excuse me, the 7th. And the other date is...
We are doing every...
The 21st.
All right, fine.
Plus every Monday.
Okay, fine. All right, fine. We will look. We will look forward to getting that email, and we always enjoy having Bob on because he can help us to clarify what's going on behind the scenes. It's so vitally important that you understand. We're seeing the demise of the banking system, which is the very foundation of our current materialistic philosophy of society. And as these banks begin to fail, then of course, and as our currency begins to fail, then we're looking at the loss of the wealth of the vast majority of the American people, not the very rich. They know what's going on. They're protecting themselves. They're moving their money into other countries, into gold and silver, and getting it stored so that they're going to be able to pick up an awful lot of Sydney bargains as people lose their homes and people lose their businesses. And I think we're in for very difficult times, don't you, Bob?
I sure do, and I hate to have to report this kind of thing, but, you know, we want to tell people what we believe is the truth, and that's the way we see it. And both you and I have been at this almost 50 years, so between us, we got about 100 years of experience in these areas, and I don't know that there can be many more people in the world that know more about it than we do.
Well, more than you do. I'm simply a casual observer, and we're just trying to get people to think, and this is why we appreciate so much your coming on with us to give us your overview of what's going on. And for our listeners, if you don't take the International Forecaster, you're really missing something, because Bob has a tremendous wealth of information that, you know, to actually write 60 pages every week, it comes in basically two separate communications. And I like it that way because it's awfully hard to read 60 pages. Much easier to read 30 pages twice a week than 60 pages at one time. But anyway, we're looking forward to the next issue that comes out on the 2nd of January. Good night, Bob. God bless you.
Good night, Stan. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our session with Bob Chapman. I look forward to it. We have him on Sydney every Monday afternoon on the Afternoon Genesis program, and then of course in the evening he'll be on a regular a basis twice a month. And then of course we do want to mention that we will be going back on shortwave on the 2nd of January, and we'll have those dates posted on our website at RadioLiberty.com, and we'll be announcing that. We're going to be on WWCR in the afternoon and WHRI in the evening, and we'll only be on for 1 hour, but it'll be on two powerful stations so that everybody in the nation will be able to hear us. That'll be 250,000-watt stations, two of them for the first hour every evening, and then, of course, 1 hour, actually 2 1-hour programs in the afternoon on WWCR. So we're looking forward to it. We should have good coverage for you, and if you're a shortwave listener, why, we hope that you will be listening and getting others to listen. Well, as far as what's happening financially, if you have not yet read my treatise on the history of money, it's a little pamphlet. Let me suggest it. It will give you tremendous insight. You can call our 800 number, 800-544-8927, for a suggested gift. And then, of course, my talk on the financial tsunami. And it's available on DVD or in video, along with the syllabus. And the syllabus is about a year old, but nothing there has changed that much. And the figures there from the Federal Reserve System, you begin to understand the enormity of what's going on today. That's the financial tsunami. We carry the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, by our good friend Ed Griffin. We carry the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, by Professor Sutton. And then, of course, the book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France. The story of what happened to France in 1789 when they tried the system of economics we have today. And it's like deja vu all over again. And, of course, the terrible deleterious effects of money that's made out of nothing on the society where everybody is prosperous and values and morality simply disappear. And France went into an immoral period, a period where people had nothing to believe in and belief in God was destroyed. And this is following the French Revolution in 1789. Fiat Money, Inflation in France is one of the most important books. It's a very short little book written by Andrew Dickinson White, who was the dean of Cornell University probably 100 years ago. But it's a very important book. So remember, we're talking about my talk on my pamphlet on the history of money, my talk on financial tsunami in DVD or video, and a syllabus, the book The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, because it is a conspiracy, and lastly, Fiat Money Inflation in France. Now, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, it will give you an overview of the spiritual forces which are behind what's going on financially. Then you need to hear my talk on, and it's on DVD, on the Forbidden Secret. That's the Forbidden Secret. Then our 4-tape set or 4-CD set on the secret behind the secret, this phenomenon that's sweeping the world, Rhonda Byrne's video and or book called The Secret, and tells you about a secret that's been passed down. It came from the emerald tablets of Hermes and then passed down through the centuries. Very well done. A video by Rhonda Byrne. I suggest you don't buy it, but it's very well done. And what she says is absolutely true. There is a secret out there that you can tap into, but you do at the risk of your very soul. You need to get our videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version were involved in a spiritual battle. And there really are Luciferian forces out there that want to claim your eternal soul. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. And our webpage, Radio Liberty, RadioLiberty.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors of this station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, there'll be the views of Dr. Carl Palemon. And certainly Dr. Palemon was a researcher for many, many years. He and his wife have PhDs, but now they're retired, and of course they're into really researching things having to do with health. We'll be having Dr. Palemon's wife on tomorrow afternoon for our 3 o'clock program, talking about rheumatoid arthritis and her experience with that. But Dr. Palemon's going to be talking this evening about vitamin C and certain things that he's learned about nutrition. Thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I do need to correct you, Doctor, because actually my degree is in physics, and it is not a doctor degree. My wife is the doctor in the family.
All right, fine. So, well, basically you were in research, though, weren't you, doing much of your professional life?
Well, I was building systems, aerospace systems, and then after I retired, my wife got a PhD in natural medicine, and together we're quite a team. We work together on her book, and I've done a lot of sort of the basic pound the internet and put the ideas together for her book and also for some of her lectures that she's been doing, and then more recently I've been speaking on vitamin C as well.
Well, why don't you then tell us what got you interested in vitamin C and what are the advantages of the vitamin?
Well, I was surprised that vitamin C was not well understood since, you know, it was discovered sort of indirectly about 1600. It took 200 years before the Admiralty decided to issue lemon juice to their sailors, and in the next 200 years there still has been a rather low level of interest in it in the pharmaceutical industry or the medical industry, and yet it has been the subject of Nobel Prize winners and other leading researchers since George E. in 1937, I believe, won the Nobel Prize for his work, and that included the work that he did on cellular metabolism and also vitamin C.
All right, now, what do we need to know then about vitamin C?
Well, first of all, it helps the body rebuild. It is an anti-inflammatory, and it's really not a vitamin in the sense that you take a minimum amount and it acts like a catalyst. It actually is a compound which is consumed while it's operating.
All right, and here's how is it consumed by the cell, and of course, what impact does it have on cell metabolism?
Well, what it does, one of the things that it does is that it blocks a critical enzyme, which is a spreading factor for bacteria and for viruses. It blocks the hyaluronate lysase enzyme, which has been emitted by a lot of pathogens that are trying to spread through the body. And it blocks that enzyme and blocks the spread of these pathogens.
And is this why the vitamin C seems to help people with colds?
Well, that is controversial, and you have to ask at what level.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment. All right, you go right ahead.
Well, the situation is that people have started at the low end of the dosage levels without considering that vitamin C is actually a chemical that the body needs very desperately to stay healthy. If you look at animal studies, you find that humans and monkeys and guinea pigs manufacture zero vitamin C in their systems because we've lost the gene for making vitamin C. On the other hand, animals, mice, horses, and so forth have a varying amount that is made, but it's substantially more than the amount that is prescribed as the minimum standard dose. And when you get into the level of what works for colds, it has to be rather extremely high. There's a doctor, Cathcart, who has a table that's in one of Linus Pauling's books that relates the different diseases and colds and other conditions and how much vitamin C you should be taking.
Well, how much vitamin C should one would be taking if he has an upper respiratory infection? Would you hazard a guess?
Well, I can tell you my own personal experience.
All right,
it's
fine.
It's around 25 grams a day, and it should be spread out over a period. Basically, when you start to feel the tickle again, you need to take some more. It's really easy to understand once you've kind of had a couple of colds and been treating yourself with vitamin C. I take 500 milligram tablets, and I take maybe 6 or 8 of them at a time, and when the tickle comes back, I take some more. And so when it works out, it seems to work out at about 20 to 30 grams a day, and it's evenly spaced about every 2 to 4 hours.
Well, now, what about, do you get diarrhea at all? Do some people get diarrhea?
No, I haven't noticed that. In fact, at the high levels that I've been taking, I have quite normal functions.
All right, fine. Do some people act differently?
Well, it's like a tolerance level. You work your way up. I have a hunch that what may be going on is that when you start, there's a bunch of organisms that live in your gut that aren't healthy, and after you've been taking it for a while, working your dosage, increasing it, they shift around and you have a more healthy intestinal flora. Of course, you should be taking some good probiotics and yogurt and things like that, too.
All right, you hang on to that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Carl Feldman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Carl was just saying that if certainly he will take up to 20 grams of vitamin C a day. Now, it comes in 500 milligram capsules, so he, of course, will be taking 6 or 8 at a time and over the course of a day, interspersing them. And it seems to help as far as colds are concerned. And are there any articles that have actually analyzed that, any studies that have analyzed to show it's effective?
Well, let me give you one article that I read by Dr. Vasjani. He's head of the Immunosciences Lab in Santa Monica. He tests people, submissions from doctors all around the country, and he found that a level of 6 grams per day for about a 100-kilogram person, the immune system starts to recover its dysfunction. And he's also measuring, through other tests, the immune system activity and the leukocyte levels and things like that. So he's very well qualified to write such an article. So that's 6 grams to maintain your immune system at a level which is starting to be functional. If you're sick, if you have a cold, of course, then you need more.
All right, fine. So, well, what other advantages does vitamin C have other than as far as a cold are concerned?
Well, there's a lot of literature out there about things like sudden infant death syndrome, shaken baby syndrome, and borderline scurvy. It's been said by Dr. Cathcart, for example, that arteriosclerosis, is an indication of a very low-level scurvy, and that if you have enough vitamin C in your system, it cleans out the plaques in your blood system. And my own experience has been that when I started feeling dizzy when I stood up, I wasn't taking hardly any vitamin C, and so I upped my level to about 4 grams a day, and all that dizziness went away. So it seems to facilitate the repair of your circulatory system, and it certainly facilitates repair of conditions like sunburn or burns or surgery, things of that nature. The repair rates and the wound healing rates are considerably greater when you have an adequate level of vitamin C.
All right, fine. So vitamin C sounds like then something that everybody should be taking, and I think really the point that you make is so well taken, and that is that human beings and guinea pigs and a couple of other, monkeys, that cannot manufacture their vitamin C on their own, whereas most animals do. Is that correct?
That's correct. The birds make it, surprisingly, in their kidneys, and the other animals, the mammals, make it in the liver. And so they make a level that's adequate to their needs. If they are stressed, they make more of it. And I was always wondering why people were using rats as models and finding that things that work with rats don't work with humans. And my question is, could it be that rats make vitamin C and therefore it facilitates certain reactions to drugs and other things, whereas humans don't, and it's the absence of vitamin C in the human experiments that make them fail? That's a question that needs to be researched.
Well, I think that there's a lot that we don't understand. What are the animals now that do not make their own vitamin C?
Basically, animals that have lived with a whole lot of fruits in their diet. Like I said, guinea pigs, also fruit bats.
Fruit bats and guinea pigs, okay.
Yeah, as well as all of the primates. For example, a tortoise makes a little. A snake makes about the same as a tortoise, but it's about, the snake makes 10 milligrams per kilogram, whereas a mouse makes 275 milligrams per kilogram. And, of course, a dog or a cat is about 40. Humans, apes, man, monkeys, they're all down there at zero.
And, of course, this is some sort of a genetic abnormality, then. We don't have the proper genes, or we've lost the proper genes to manufacture vitamin C?
That's right. And it's normally it's made from glucose. So all that stuff that's getting converted to fat, if we had the proper genes, we would maybe convert it to vitamin C and be healthier.
See, well, there are all these things that the average person doesn't know. This is why the vitamin C supplements are really so vitally important. In fact, isn't vitamin C actually made from a glucose preparation?
I'm sure you can do that. The vitamin C that you get at the drugstore quite often comes from natural sources. That's the ones that have bioflavonoids and other things with it. It can also be made synthetically. I was just researching the shape. Turns out that the vitamin C that they make synthetically is a mixture of two optical isomers, and one is active and the other is not. So about half of your synthetic, unless it's separated, it's pretty expensive to separate it sometimes, maybe not as active as some of the natural vitamin C that you get.
All right, fine, but of course this is something that where people really need to get it in a supplement form. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Carl Pailman, as we're talking about vitamin C and vitamin C metabolism, what you, of course, Carl was talking about the fact that I mean, this certainly helps as far as healing is concerned. And of course, you have to have the vitamin C if you're going to get your tissues to heal properly. Isn't that correct?
Well, that's right. And there's another thing that has come out over the years. There's a Dr. Klenner who's long retired. He practiced in the 50s, many hundreds of patients. He's written a number of articles that are on the web. And he relates lots of experiences of people who are exhibiting toxic shock, near death from reactions to snake bite or insect bites, severe allergic reactions, these sort of things, as well as toxins, tetanus toxin, botulism toxin. These things are disabled by high enough levels of ascorbate. It's like the toxin molecule for molecule is disabled with the destruction of the vitamin C. So you need to take a lot. You can take and chew up a pill and rub it into the bite. A lot of stuff like that, as well as, surprisingly, very rapid detox of carbon monoxide poisoning. People who are just out of it. And I tried to do some web research to see how well this is known. And surprisingly, it is not very well known by the people who are actually out there practicing that they can use vitamin C to make people recover within just a few minutes. And all of this stuff is reported in some of the papers by Dr. Klenner. They're very, very compelling descriptions of his experiences throughout the years of his treating his patients.
Now, of course, can you give this intravenously? And certainly if you had somebody with carbon monoxide poisoning, you would want to get something into them as quickly as you could. What about intravenous vitamin C?
Yeah, the best source for information on that is a paper by Dr. Cathcart on his web, orthomed.com, on how to prepare the solution. Basically, you use a sodium or a calcium formulation of ascorbic acid, and you produce a solution of a concentration which is described in his paper. The paper is for doctors. It's not for people that aren't skilled in the preparation and formulation of these solutions, but the solutions are also available to the medical trade from some sources and can be obtained by emergency room administrators if they look. It's a little hard sometimes to find administration people who will properly stock the emergency room for these things, but it's definitely something that ought to be on hand for people. I was surprised to see that there are just a tiny number of cases where they're using ascorbate successfully that have been reported for jellyfish stings, for example. Seems to be quite effective, but very little used.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Tim calling us from Albany. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Tim, you're from Albany, New York?
Yes, I am, Doctor. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I was listening to, I believe it was a previous show of yours last week, and you had a guest on who was talking about heavy metal toxicity.
Right.
The gentleman was talking about aluminum.
Right.
And my question is this. One of the things I thought he had mentioned was that there was talk of not taking vitamin C during mealtime because it helps with the absorption ratio of aluminum. I was curious if your guest knew anything about that at all.
Do you know anything at all about that?
Well, I do know that vitamin C has a chelating effect. If you take it in the diet, it very possibly will have an effect on
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Tim was calling from Albany, wanted to know about this idea of not taking vitamin C during meals because, of course, the effect on the absorption of aluminum. And certainly Carl was saying that vitamin C does have a healing effect, and you were going to say that it could very well have an effect on the absorption of some of these metals?
That's right, and I fail to see that aluminum is especially beneficial. They found aluminum in Alzheimer's plaques. Some lack of understanding how it got there and whether it was contributing to the poisoning or was just what found its way there after the damage was done by the more likely other mechanisms.
I think, first of all, Tim, I will tell you that your interpretation is correct. Apparently what vitamin C does, it facilitates the absorption of metals. One of them, of course, is iron, which you do not want to be having. Certainly as you get older, the last thing you want is higher iron levels, and that's why in past generations, why they used to bleed people to get rid of a lot of the iron, because they knew you were healthier if you didn't have the iron. The same thing they would hold for the aluminum. I think that was the point that that David made when he was actually talking about that. And incidentally, that is a very important tape. We'll be probably getting David back again to talk a little bit more about the fundamental work he's doing, pointing out the danger of the aluminum in the vaccines. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why we know that if you, for instance, take your influenza vaccine yearly of between 60 and 65 years of age, and you go out 10 years from there, you increase the incidence of Alzheimer's disease 1,000%. Now, is that because of the mercury? Is that because of the aluminum? Or is that both of them affecting the brain? We know, though, that Alzheimer's brains have about four times the amount of mercury in them. And I think that Alzheimer's diseases have about, Alzheimer brains have about 11 times the amount of aluminum that would be normal. So four times as much mercury, 11 times as much aluminum. I really wouldn't want to have either one of them because I've seen some of my friends, people have practiced medicine with me, and they've got Alzheimer's disease, terrible, terrible disease. And we know it can be directly tied into the influenza shots. Well, we don't know whether it's the mercury or the aluminum or maybe both. Anything else, Tim?
Can I ask you a real quick follow-up question regarding what you just said, Doctor? My son has been diagnosed with ADHD. I firmly believe it's from the vaccines when he was younger. He's 21 and he's high-functioning. Do you have any idea what might be a good chelating agent for mercury?
That is a little out of my field, but certainly they're chelating agents you can put on the skin, those that you can take by mouth, are those that you can take rectally in the form of suppositories. Sydney, I think they probably work as well as the intravenous chelation, which gets to be pretty expensive.
Right.
EDTA, as I remember, was the standard one, but there may be better ones than that. Could I make a suggestion?
Certainly.
Why don't you, do you have access to a computer?
Yes, I do.
All right. Simply put in capital B, capital S, and then ARDI. In other words, Bill Sardi, capital B, capital S, ARDI. And that's all you need to put in there. And simply ask him the question, and I bet he'll call you back and give you some good advice.
That'd be great. I listen to him once in a while. You provide a wonderful service, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
God bless you, too. And but let me know, if this helps your son at all, because we have so many children. One in every six American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. And I agree with you. An awful lot of them are related to the vaccines. And the people of the CDC know, and they hate children.
Well, I'm not sure that they hate them. The CDC seems to be like guys sitting in a rowboat, opposite directions, both rowing, and the rowboat goes in a circle. thing I'd like to say about vaccines and vitamin C is that there's a wonderful man, I think he's still alive in Australia, Archie Karakarinos, who wrote a book called Every Second Child. And it's a little hard to get nowadays. It's expensive, but Basically, he tells the story of his experiences in New South Wales, where the vaccine program in Australia killed hundreds of children due to, within a day or two of the vaccine administration, due to the fact that the children were malnourished and had extremely low levels of ascorbate. And when you give a vaccine to a child or even a grown-up, the ascorbate levels are depleted. And when if you're on the borderline scurvy and they deplete, you go into a serious scurvy condition which can be fatal. And this was observed. Hundreds of children died, and the whole establishment was greatly embarrassed by Dr. Kirk Kasinos, and but he later was given an award of the Doctor of the Century, the Greek Doctor of the Century in Australia, in sort of commemoration of his persistence in making clear that a lot of us are suffering from a shortage of vitamin C, even at the current levels in the diet. And of course, the people in the bush country of Australia had a great difficulty in getting a lot of fruits because it was so dry and there weren't that many sources of vitamin C.
Very good point. Every Second Child was the title, huh?
That's right.
Do you have a copy of the book?
No, I looked it up on a website, adol.com, the used out-of-print books, which will search the world for books through used booksellers. And the cheapest copy I could find was $20, and you can get a few copies from Australia.
All right. God bless, and thanks very much for calling us there.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Okay. And, Chris, we have somebody asking a question. Is there any evidence that the humans once had the gene to manufacture vitamin C and lost it? Do you have any thoughts at all on that, Carl?
Well, I think, we all, if you go back far enough, we all are descended from earlier mammals. There's a bunch of mammals that have the gene, so I suspect that, yes, indeed, if you go far back enough, that's true.
All right, fine. So our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, some people say that vitamin C is essential for good cardiac and vascular health. Is there any studies along that line?
Well, I can say yes, indeed, there are, but I can give you my own personal experience that a combination of ascorbic acid and coenzyme Q10 have helped my circulatory system and heart to operate much better than it was before. So and I'd also like to say, with regard to blood flow to the brain and things like that, I had some onset of both Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, some dysfunction slowly creeping up on me starting about 6 years ago. And when I got up to high enough levels of C, maybe about 10 grams a day, those symptoms regressed. And as long as I maintained that level, the symptoms were not there. And then when I didn't take as much vitamin C, the symptoms came back. And it seems to, I almost tune it, if I miss my dosages for a week, then I notice the problem.
Well, I really think it's fascinating when you really stop and contemplate the fact that human beings, fruit bats and guinea pigs, do not manufacture the vitamin C, and literally all the other mammals do, and that we need those supplements if we don't have them. That's why they called the British sailors limeys. They had to have that. If they didn't, on the long voyages, they got scurvy. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I can't say that I've ever seen a full-blown case of scurvy. But, certainly the sailors that were, on the ships for long periods of time and didn't have any access to vitamin C, they would begin to get the petechiae, a little bleeding under the fingernails and in the skin, and then, of course, progressive destruction of their health. Simply because they did not have access to vitamin C. So it's really so essential to us. And although we can get a certain amount of vitamin C from our food and from fruits and vegetables, can't we?
Well, yes, you do. But if we don't eat enough fruit, enough citrus, and, of course, a lot of the fruit has sugar. And so if you try to get all your vitamin C from fruits, you're probably going to have too much sugar in your system. And sugar is one of those things that promotes the growth of yeast and mycoplasmas and other pathogens. Different strains use different sugars. And so the more sugar we have in our system, the more tendency we have to be obese. And if we tried to get our vitamin C just through that, we would be overfeeding ourselves.
All right, fine, of course. And now, do you have a website at all, or anything like that, that you'd like to get out for us?
Well, on vitamin C, there's a few pages on our website. The website for my wife's book, Rheumatoid Arthritis, The Infection Connection, is ra-infection-connection.com. And we have a bunch of health articles that are out on that website, and you can kind of drill down to look at the health articles, and then there's a few slides on vitamin C. But the way to determine vitamin C, I think some of the best papers, if you Googled ascorbic and Cathcart, C-A-T-H-C-A-R-T, or use the other name Klenner, K-L-E-N-N-E-R, with ascorbic in a Google query, you'll find some amazing, wonderful articles.
All right, fine. And so, anyway, we'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California. We'll be back in just a moment for the last segment of our program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Carl Paleman, and we'll be having Carl's wife on tomorrow afternoon, Dr. Catherine Paleman, on her book on rheumatoid arthritis, which we do carry, Rheumatoid Arthritis, The Infection Connection. Well, we've got right now Jack calling from Michigan. Jack, do you have a question for our guest? Well, let's see. There we are. There. Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
Hey. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
And to you, too.
Thank you. My memory has been tweaked, Dr. Stan. You had a colleague, a medical doctor friend on from California, I think earlier this year, and he was discussing chelation, and I even called and asked him about miso as a good chelator, and he said yes, absolutely. He also said magnesium malate, and there was another one too. Oh, phosphatidylcholine, therapeutic levels orally administered were very effective oral chelators for heavy metals. And I wanted to ask the guest whether he knows about the Indian gooseberry. It's an Ayurvedic herb. I've seen it as Amla C. I've seen Acerola cherry as a natural source of C. And what about magnesium ascorbate?
Yeah, magnesium would probably work as well as calcium or sodium ascorbate, but it's not readily available as those other two. The other Ayurvedic reference, I'll have to pass on that. I haven't done much reading on that.
All right, anything else, Jack?
Well, I just wanted to mention, when you brought up scurvy, Dr. Stan, didn't the English sailors use limes?
No, they used limes. That's why they called them limeys. They could either give them the lime juice or lemon juice.
So my thought was, Dr. Stan, is the natural sources of vitamin C would have synergistic cofactors that might well make the vitamin C much more bioactive.
Well, of course, I mean, certainly it was. We find vitamin C in orange juice, and we find it in citrus fruits, in lemons, we find it in limes, and anything of that sort. Okay, anything else?
Well, that's good, Dr. Stan.
All right, God bless. And let's go to Chris, who's calling us from Central California. Hi, Chris. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I wanted to ask your guest about ester C.
Ester C, okay. Now, that is another type of ascorbic acid, isn't it?
Yes, ester C, I believe, is a calcium ascorbate. As a buffered form, it's not going to make your stomach acid. And if you wanted to take higher levels of ascorbic acid, you could take ester C or ester C combined with some other ascorbic acid tablets so that you didn't get yourself so acid.
So does it actually make you alkaline in your system?
Well, I'm not quite sure about the end result because some of these things get metabolized. And when they do, they switch from being an alkaline to a base. So I'm not totally up on that particular one.
Can you take as much ester as ascorbate and get the same benefits?
I believe so, although my own personal experience seems to be that, you need to get some calcium in your system as well.
How about calcium citrate?
The calcium ascorbate and ester C are the similar products that are the same formulation but cheaper because they don't have the advertising budget, those things will help you get your calcium as well as get your ascorbate.
I generally go with a calcium citrate and a magnesium citrate 1-to-1. How would that do with that?
Well, if you're doing the citrate, I'm not sure that the citric acid is all that nutritional, but if you do the ester C, you could not take as much calcium citrate.
I try to keep that one with the magnesium about even, 1-to-1.
The magnesium, you need to just, you probably have some ratio of how much of each you should have. I think part of the studies they had on the sodium, too much sodium, was that you weren't getting enough calcium and magnesium.
I think one of the things is certainly you need magnesium. Most people are magnesium deficient. We have a wonderful book. We really believe it. It's very important. It's called The Miracle of Magnesium. And, I mean, I would personally prefer taking the magnesium to the calcium because, of course, calcium many times can precipitate out in your arteries, whereas most people in America are magnesium deficient. And really, this is an amazing, amazing mineral. We just need an awful lot more of it. Of course, you can get it from your green leafy vegetables, but most people don't eat enough of them. So, I mean, if you are into supplements, I would take your magnesium rather than the calcium. This would be my personal thought on that. But the book, The Miracle of Magnesium, we carry, and I'm not sure whether we ever put together a 4-tape set on magnesium. If we didn't, we sure should have. Anything else, Chris?
Dr. Stan, what is your personal favorite magnesium citrate or another form?
Magnesium citrate.
It is.
That's what we take, and I think we actually carry that through Radio Liberty, as I remember. And, of course, what we actually carry through our the things that we take ourselves, by actually offering these to our listeners, while we get them at wholesale prices. And believe me, we use a lot of these things on our own. And it's specifically magnesium citrate.
With the calcium citrate.
Right.
Thank you.
But primarily the magnesium. Okay.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you
so
much.
Guest.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
All right, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California, our guest is Carl Pailman, and we're simply talking about the fact that most people are not going to get adequate vitamin C, simply through their diet. Now, if you are going to be a vegetarian and you're going to juice your vegetables and things of that sort, fine. But if you're not doing that, if you're eating a conventional diet, you're going to have to rely upon supplements. And that's the reality of where we are. If you want to go all the way into juicing and follow Dr. Day's advice, then you're not going to have to take the supplements. But unfortunately, the world we live in is a very complicated world, and of course, I think we have to recognize that there are things, certainly vitamin D. We don't get enough vitamin D. Vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin, and we spend so much of our time indoors that we do not get adequate vitamin D. And vitamin D is so important as far as cancer, as far as infection is concerned, and certainly I take not only a vitamin C, but vitamin D and allobiotic when you start getting a cold, and it really does have an effect. Well, let's go to Nick, who's calling us from Carmel. So, hi, Nick. How are you doing? Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I have a comment concerning the chelation therapy for mercury and heavy metals.
All right.
And that is done through a process, they call it DMPS.
All right.
And the calcium EDTA is another process also which they use, but they usually start with the DMPS because that takes out the copper, cadmium, arsenic, lead, mercury, and the heavy metals.
Now, Chris, is that used for adults? Is that used for children?
I think it's used for both.
All right.
Because, and then the actually the website you could go to look into that is GordonResearch.com.
All right, fine. Now, is this given orally? Is it given rectally? Is it given on the skin? Because they do have certain things that they can put on the skin that seem to be pretty good about pulling out the heavy metals.
Well, this is IV. The DMPS is IV.
All right.
And the EDTA is IV also.
All right.
And then there's an oral chelator they could use. It's called Chlorella, and that goes with the process.
All right.
And, again, the caller before asked about a website to go to. Well, Dr. Gary Gordon actually wrote the book on this. And his, again, website is GordonResearch.com.
Now, is that Dr. Gary Gordon?
Yes.
All right, fine. Well, apparently Dr. Ayub, who's our good friend, who was a guest here a few weeks ago, talking on the dangers of the aluminum, specifically in the vaccines, because there's the alum aluminum compound there, and apparently he did recommend Gary Gordon. So that's a high recommendation, because I will tell you, David Ayub has done some seminal work. And for our listeners out there who have not, of course, got the DVD that Dr. Ayub did with us, I guess 2 years ago, on mercury, autism, and the global population agenda. That's mercury, autism, and the global population agenda. Let me suggest that DVD. You need to get it because it comes with a CD-ROM that's got thousands of pages of his research. He's a very, very thorough researcher. So anything else you wanted to say, Gary? Anything else you want to say, Nick?
No, that's fine. That'll be it.
Certainly, you seem to be very well informed. Where did you get the information?
Well, I've through a couple sources. In fact, I'm going through the chelation therapy right now myself.
All right. Are you going through it to get rid of heavy metals?
Mercury toxicity. And, of course, I had some mercury fillings I had to deal with. Of course, Dr. David Biles removed them for me in Santa Cruz.
All right, fine. Well, Dave is a good friend of ours.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
He's a Radio Liberty.
But they think it was, you know, probably, again, the mercury toxicity, of course, had to come from the mercury fillings. Where else? But they've all been removed since, though.
Has it helped you at all?
Right away I'm feeling much better already. Much better.
How many fillings did you have? Did you have them all taken out at one time, or do you have them taken out staggered?
Well, I've had a lot of fillings throughout my life, and I had two left. And Dr. Biles took them out at the same time. Of course, he does it non-toxically. But actually, as soon as I started the IV treatments and removed the mercury fillings, right away, my energy levels went right up, and I started feeling much better.
Well, I'm so glad, and I'm so glad that you got it done correctly, because, you know, a lot of dentists will take out your fillings, but they really don't understand that you can actually end up with mercury toxicity when you get your mercury fillings taken out.
Exactly.
So anyway, I'm glad you're doing well, Nick.
And, okay. Thank you, Doctor.
God bless.
God bless you.
All right. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And These are things that the average individual just doesn't think about. And unfortunately, most of our debtors, well, about, I think almost about half the debtors now have finally come to the realization that the mercury fillings they've been putting in and were trained to fit in are not good for them. And they're either willing to take them out or willing to acknowledge that, that there's a problem and they're not putting in new mercury fillings. The other half just haven't been educated enough yet, and that's why it's so vitally important that you out there in the listening audience do learn about these things and get your dentist. He may listen to you more than he'll listen to me, but there is so much evidence out there and so much material that show the toxicity of the mercury, and so much of what the dentists are doing has been harmful to our health, and certainly the American Dental Association is never going to admit their involvement in this, because of course initially they got a percentage of all the money that came from the mercury fillings. Whether they still do or not, I don't know, but they have been putting out faulty information for many years. That's the American Dental Association. And about half the dentists, fortunately, are beginning to change their attitude. And we can just get them to change their attitude on fluoride as well. We'll be doing well. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Carl Pailman. Carl, what other things would you like to say about vitamin C? What other things should people be knowing about this this amazing, amazing vitamin?
Well, I guess I'd like to diverge a little bit, and you were talking about the various other vitamins, D and A and the B complex. There's a bunch of them that are really necessary for immune function, and especially vitamin D, like you were saying. People were talking about the calcium in their system, and I think it's worth saying that when you have intravenous extremely high levels of dosages, 10 times the ones I was talking about intravenously for really critical, life-threatening situations, the doctors have to pay attention to the calcium levels and supplement by putting additional calcium in the intravenous, because it tends to leach out not only the heavy metals, but also the calcium in the system, and it tends to dissolve some of the plaques in your arteries. So calcium metabolism is needs calcium supplements when you're on extremely high levels of ascorbate. And one other thing about calcium, there's some early work in the 50s by Dr. Jarvis relating to vinegar and bone growth in cattle. If you take enough vinegar in your diet, it helps the distribution and redistribution of calcium in your body.
Well, now, what about kidney stones? Is there a tendency to get kidney stones if you take excessive amounts of ascorbate?
Well, you know, I looked at that, and I found a very convincing article about kidney stones, which indicates that there's four different kinds of kidney stones, and one is genetically caused, and the other three are all helped by using vitamin C. Some the vitamin C dissolves them, others it reduces the rate of formulation or rate of precipitation. I think Dr. Cathcart, who now has retired from practice, all throughout his career, he never found anyone that he was putting on high levels of vitamin C that ever had a kidney stone problem. I think it was all theoretical, and it's an urban myth, but you know, I can't say for sure because it's very hard to prove the negative.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly vitamin C is essential to our health, and unless we're taking large amounts of citrus fruits and vegetables, and, you know, we're simply not getting adequate vitamin C. And vitamin C in large mega doses certainly does seem to have an effect on our general health, and specifically on fighting infections. When the infections are coming on, why, it's nice to have those large doses of vitamin C available. And you know, there is efforts now on the part of the bureaucracy to limit the amount of vitamin C that we can get. And down the line, if the codex comes through, you're not going to be able to get more than 100 or 200 milligrams in a tablet or capsule. And so my suggestion to people is to begin laying in supplies of this. Or if we were to have some sort of a catastrophic event in this country, and you simply were incapable of getting the vitamins and minerals to regular channels, health could really deteriorate tremendously. So Barbara and I, my family, we keep good supplies on hand all the time, and it's amazing how rapidly you go through this, but we've had amazingly good health all in all since we've been taking these supplements. And of course, our guest this evening has been Carl Pailman. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Carl, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What's the message you would like to leave with our listeners? Could you summarize that in 3 minutes?
Well, if you brush your teeth and your gums bleed, that's an indication you need more vitamin C. And it has a lot of different functions that are beneficial. It stimulates your white blood cells to work. It's a potent first aid for allergic reactions, snake bites, skin bites, poisons, toxic shock. It detoxes carbon monoxide. It disables enzymes that dissolve your tissues and helps healing. It helps if you're frostbitten or if you have burns and sunburns. It's very strongly antiviral. So if you have bitten by a tick or a West Nile mosquito or whatever, take a lot of vitamin C. Be sure to take a lot of vitamin C before, during, and after any vaccinations. And it also tends to suppress a whole lot of intracellular microbial parasites that you have in your system that you've accumulated over the many years of your life.
All right, and of course the thing is that if you have adequate doses of vitamin C, then your own immune system will be able to take care of a lot of the infections. Would that be a fair estimate of what's going on?
I think that's really true. I think that if you get above 6 grams a day, your immune system starts to recover. A reasonable dosage based on what a rat would take would be around 10 or 12 grams a day. But a minimum about five grams is what I find is reasonable for me, but I'm currently taking about 15.
I see. Why do you take 15 if 5 does a good job?
Well, we've been tested, and we have a widespread of viruses, Coxsackie and HHV.
All right, so you're really taking
and so forth.
You're taking it then for the chronic infections.
And we try to keep those suppressed, and as a result, we've done better on our tests, from year to year. So we had some terrible reactions to the last flu shot about 2 years ago, and so we decided to start taking vitamin C in larger quantities instead of flu shots, and since we did, we haven't had much trouble with the flu or cold.
I think that's a very smart thing. I don't think people should take the flu shots. God bless. Thanks very much. Really enjoyed having you with us tonight, Carl.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our interview this evening, and certainly, we carry Dr. Blaylock's wonderful book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. It's sort of like a Bible in our family, and it's got all sorts of great information, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. We carry Dr. Blaylock's book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. If you're going to have cancer and you're going to use conventional treatment, you really need to take a lot of vitamins and other things to keep your hair from falling out and getting deathly ill. And I've actually heard this statement made by of people whose relatives have followed Dr. Blaylock's information, and the oncologists that doctors can't understand why they're not getting sick and their hair isn't falling out like everybody else's is. Believe me, chemotherapy and radiation are very deadly means of treatment, and yet, well, it depends upon the type of tumor. There's certain tumors that they are very effective in, so many that, well, there's nothing else to do, so let's try it, and it really doesn't do any good at all. So you really need to learn about the tumors and which ones really, of course, can be helped with that and which ones it's a disaster. And then we carry Dr. Blaylock's other book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. We carry the Miracle of Magnesium. It's an excellent book. And let me suggest we do have a catalog that contains all of our the various things having to do with health and the four tape sets. And we have a four tape set on with Dr. Blaylock, and we recommend that four tape set with Dr. Blaylock give you tremendous insight into things that you can do to protect yourself. And then, of course, we've got a great deal on water fluoridation, a four tape set. We've got a DVD that put together by Dr. Kennedy on drinking water. We've got my talk on the hidden agenda, and of course, some people don't believe that anybody could hate children. And yet, if you read, and you'll see the pages there from Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society, where he tells by the use of diet, injections, and injunctions, we will so alter the mind of the child that they will never be able to think independently of what they were told by their schoolmaster. By the use of diet, injections, and injunctions. Well, what are they talking about? The diet is what they food and what they put in the water. And the injections, I believe that's the immunizations with mercury and the aluminum, because they have a profound impact on the brain. And some children cannot excrete them, and they accumulate, and they produce toxicity in the children. And in the elderly, they put Alzheimer's disease. And there really are people like Bertrand Russell who had no concern at all about humanity. Everything was about control. And of course, by diet, injection, injunctions, we would be able to control the population. That comes from, as I remember, page 50 or 51 of his The Impact of Science on Society. But if you get our four tapes out on, pardon me, you get our talk on the hidden agenda, and then the syllabus that goes with that, you'll actually have the pages there. We got permission to utilize those, the pages from Bertrand Russell's book, and you can read it. Then, of course, we go to the section about page 103, where he talks about how wonderful it is when you can have a black plague sweeping the world every generation, and that way we can procreate, reproduce as much as we want. There really are people like Bertrand Russell, who have a different worldview. And remember, you can get those pages in the syllabus on the hidden agenda going into mercury. They're poisonous with mercury and aluminum. They're poisonous with vaccines. They're poisonous with aspartame and MSG, which is in so many of the products today. And they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. They know the toxicity of mercury. That's put out the CDC report on Simpsonville. You can get it on the internet through Radio Liberty. They're producing diseases, new forms of mass killing. If you haven't seen Alex Jones' Endgame DVD, you need to get it. Our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.